Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Asma Khalid. Normally on Thursdays, we try to have this weekly Bostonomics segment. Bostonomics is the name of our new biz tech team, and I, in fact, lead that unit. But since I'm here filling in as host today, we decided instead of me talking to myself, we should bring in a couple of outside voices to talk about an issue that has been buzzing in the tech community, and that is sexism. The startup world is known to foster this bro culture that's led to major allegations, not just of gender discrimination, but actual sexual harassment. And some folks say one reason for this is the lack of female leadership. For example, Crunchbase, that's this super useful startup database by TechCrunch, it's found that only 17% of startups in the first quarter of 2017 had female founders. And that percentage has remained flat for the past 5 years. Now, a new fund, led mostly by women entrepreneurs, wants to help change this. It wants to change this by focusing on investing in startups with at least one female founder. The fund is called X Factor Ventures, and it's being launched by Flybridge Capital. It's relatively small by VC standards. Currently, it only has about $3 million on hand, with plans to invest about $100,000 into 30 companies over the next couple of years. We should point out that Flybridge is led mostly by men, and so it's relying on a team of women entrepreneurs to advise the firm on investment choices. One of those women is Anna Palmer. She's co-founder and CEO of Fashion Project, a clothing resale startup, and Wonder Mile, an online platform to browse and buy from retail stores. Anna, first, can you share some of your own experiences? You're someone who's been out in the trenches trying to get funded. What's it been like as a woman in the startup world?
Sure. So with Fashion Project, we raised about $13 million in venture capital. Through that process, I just went back and looked at my notes the other day. I talked to about 120 investors. And so anytime you talk with that many people, I think you run across really great advocates, but you also have meetings that don't go as well as what you'd like. So the story that I tell where that happened was my very first meeting I had with an angel investor. I was sitting across the table from him, and I think it was a joke now that I know who it is and got to know him a little bit better in the community. But he got to my resume, and I was graduating from Harvard Law at the time, and he looked at it and said, "So you don't have a finance background, you don't have an MBA, what are you, just pretty to look at?" Mm-hmm. And in that moment for me, I know he said it very flippantly, and I think he now meant it as a joke now that I know him. But that moment was pretty defining. I was like, oh, okay. And it just shifted my perspective a little bit going into future meetings.
And I want to bring in a longtime veteran of this industry to get her take on this as well. Rudina Cesari is founder and managing partner at Glasswing Ventures. This is a venture capital firm in Boston. She's also a former partner at Fairhaven Capital Partners in Cambridge and an entrepreneur in residence at Harvard Business School. Rudina, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, Rudina, you've been listening to what Anna had to say here, and I'd love for you to just begin with your thoughts.
So, what I think is interesting about the dynamics in our industry, both venture, but also how we support, invest, or do not in women-led startups or management teams that have a big component of women and diversity members, is not necessarily the absolute number of 120 meetings or 300 meetings or whatever it takes. Having a lot of venture meetings and finding the right chemistry, the right VCs to back you is par for the course. What I think strikes me, and I'll express it in percentages, is the fact that of all the capital that gets deployed, only 17% is allocated to women. And that is a challenge, and that is a systemic challenge that we have in the industry.
So I have a question for both of you. Even as we've seen sort of a small growth in the percentage of women who are working at VC firms, we haven't really seen a sort of parallel funding increase. And I'd love to understand from you why that's the case.
So in many ways, that's a lack of awareness about what venture capital firms are not investing in. I'm in boardrooms with a lot of men who are just not thinking about, wait a minute, what are we leaving on the table? So the beginning of changing the funding for women entrepreneurs is having more female VCs. It's also investing in an increasing number of tech-enabled businesses like e-commerce, like digital, like the emergence of new consumer platforms where women have taken the lead, and it's a disproportionately higher number of women founders and CEO than, let's say, hard tech. I think as those types of businesses see more funding and as we see more successful entrepreneurs come out of that cadre, we will see both more funding going to women, more awareness with venture capital firms, and eventually some of those entrepreneurs becoming partners within VCs.
I just want to second what Rudina said because I think it's really important. That's what we need. We need more women in that pipeline, more women investing and really moving that needle, not just on a one-off basis, but as an entire group.
So, Rudina, do you feel at all, though, by you having a seat at the table, that it informs maybe the way that you're sort of viewing the situation, even if it's unconsciously? And I ask that in part because I was reading in the Harvard Business Review recently a piece about how male and female entrepreneurs get asked different questions by VCs, and that by asking these different questions, even if it's just a slight difference in language, it actually affects how much funding they get.
Sure, but that, yes, that depends on a number of things. I'll give you an example as to how, and this is very traditional and it has changed a lot, but assume for the sake of argument that you have two teams, one is woman-led, one is men-led, they're pitching, and let's just assume all the other variables are the same in terms of the business idea and execution ability and whatnot. Historically, the men-led team would give you a pitch where it was all going to be sunshine, a 5 million, then a 20 million revenue growth, then 100 million, then you kind of bought in that vision. The historically typical sort of first-time woman entrepreneur, the pitch would look like, I will generate 3.275 million in year one, 4.52 in year two, and so on. So one party was pitching the vision, and keep in mind that they're listening, the audience, all the partners around the table listening to the pitch are also largely men. Big vision, great, execution chops. And then the next, you know, the woman founder or CEO was pitching numbers that she knew for a fact she could hit. And so that was getting translated as, she doesn't have the big vision. She doesn't have the ability to build a big business. Wrong. It was just, going back to your question around the way language and how it got received and how it got funded, women weren't as familiar with, let me tell you, where I think this could be. And I think you need a bit of both in terms of a pitch and in terms of getting a realistic view, what they can dare to dream and imagine and what they can actually hit.
So Anna, you've been on the other side of that table. You mentioned the two companies that you've worked on, both are sort of in the fashion realm. I imagine that's not an easy pitch at times to some men. I mean, maybe I'm characterizing, you know, men now here too, but but I presume some of them just may not even see some of the economic advantages of the companies that you were pitching. Was that a challenge?
So with Fashion Project, what we really were was a clothing donation platform. And the industry that we were going after was actually very metrics driven. And so if you just looked at the numbers of items that were donated, what was out there in the industry, you could make the business case. That being said, though, I think the thing that struck me is the very first conversations where you're just trying to get past the hurdle of, would our target customer use this? I had a couple of experiences where the investors would call their wives on speakerphone and have me pitch the business to them on speakerphone, which I actually which I actually appreciated that as a founder because I felt like at least they were making the step, even if they didn't emotionally connect with it, they were making the step to find a target customer and show that, you know, they were giving it a fair look. And then their wives would get on the phone and they would react very positively. And then that piqued their interest and we were able to then make the business case for it.
Rudina, you've been in the venture capital business for, is it about 11 years so far in the Boston area?
Yes, it is.
What has your experience been like? I'm curious to hear if you've noticed changes since you first got in the business.
Sure. I mean, it is changing. And I think that should be the point of encouragement, despite the recent news that has emerged. It is changing in that you have a lot more women, including operators and entrepreneurs like Anna, who are now becoming VCs. So we will see the fabric, the makeup of our industry change. We have a long way to go, but the awareness that the change is needed and that the market timing for change is now, that is a fundamental shift and a positive shift. And I do think, and I want to stress the point, that over time, as there are specialized funds like what Anna is doing, I also hope that the real tectonic shift will occur when a lot more firms are doing what I believe Glasswing is doing correctly, which is we integrate women entrepreneurs and as the main part of the pipeline, as much like we do men entrepreneurs, that they get access to the big funds and the real dollars and the real capital, and they are pitching on the other side of the table diverse teams also of women, men, and other backgrounds. Then that's when I think we will really be able to capture the full potential of the diversity of thought and backgrounds.
So, Radina, you mentioned just briefly there, you know, despite some of the problems that we've seen recently, and so I want to just end on that question. You know, we have heard a lot in recent weeks specifically about sexual harassment in the entrepreneur VC world. I know that, you know, this is not probably unfamiliar news to either one of you, but I'd love to hear from either one of you about what cultural shifts you feel need to happen in order to prevent sexual harassment within this world, within this ecosystem.
First of all, I think what Radina said is right, in that there has been positive change. And even in just the 6 years that I've been in the industry, I've seen a big shift in the conversations that people have been having, just around the table in general. So the number of events that are having panels focused on this, the number of solutions that people have come up with to hopefully change those numbers. I think with the most recent dialogue, it is great because it actually elevated that conversation to a level that it hasn't been before. And so I think we'll see some pretty cosmic shifts.
And are we talking about the accusations of sexual harassment that were reported in the New York Times by women entrepreneurs in California?
Yeah. So the sexual harassment allegations, also just the broader conversation that came out of that of what is women's position in venture? What does this look like with women on both sides of the table? And so I just think because that conversation has now become so public, it's a great time to create some of these solutions and have those cosmic shifts and really create real change and not just talk, which is where we're trying to head with X Factor.
And from my perspective, I think the discussion and the cases, and there have been multiple cases, I think the information broke the story on one particular VC, and then the New York Times broke the story in a couple more. But I do think that the cases of sexual harassment are much more the symptom rather than the cause. I think the underlying cause is the homogeneity topic that we have at this point covered at length. And I think because while there may be bad apples, like in any other market and industry, that misbehave, I think starting with awareness, which we are seeing take place in the market, and then with consequence for one's actions, where if there are VCs that misbehave, there are consequences for their actions, and those consequences are dire, as we have seen from a business perspective. It makes news to talk about sexual harassment, and that's great. But when the news fizzles, if we don't go back to the changing the fundamentals around venture composition, funding more women, funding more diverse management teams, having more independent directors, the symptoms will continue to reoccur and appear, whether they manifest themselves in the form of sexual harassment or something else. So I will leave you with this thought. It is also, the onus also falls upon us as senior women in our industry to help pull up other women, not just by funding them, where funding makes sense. At the end of the day, we are for profit and we want to fund strong entrepreneurs and business builders, but also to help bring other women into the senior ranks within our firms and beyond.
Yeah.
So I think there is an important to-do for us as well as women leaders in the industry to help drive the change.
Great. Well, some parting optimistic words. Thank you, Radina.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's Radina Cesari. She's a founder and managing partner at Glasswing Ventures, a venture capital firm in Boston. She's also a former partner at Fairhaven Capital Partners in Cambridge and an entrepreneur in residence at Harvard Business School. And thank you to Anna.
And thank you for having me.
That's Anna Palmer. She's one of the founding partners at X Factor Ventures, a new fund that is investing in female-led startups. She's also co-founder and CEO of Wonder Mile and Fashion Project. Thanks again to you both. It'll be interesting also to see what happens with this new fund, X Factor Ventures, because there are some critics out there who wonder if a fund of this size can really change the entrenched culture in the industry.